Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms will be in the 11th division of the particular portion of God's Word. It's going through some trials, some tribulations, hardships, much like you and I do today, except probably a lot worse. But if you look at the whole picture of what little we know about the world situation and how it is changing so rapidly, seems like the whole world is turn away from God even more than any other time in their lifetime, and right around here too. And it seems like the weather patterns are getting worse. It's interesting. We had tornado watches today, and somehow, we may be blown away tonight, but somehow I just felt safe. But down in Mississippi, when we had those same kind of tornado watches, I didn't feel a bit safe, because I guess you see on the news where those places down there are more prone to tornadoes, and around here we could have them but don't usually have them. And there's just that confidence that we, or at least I put, in the fact that, hey, I'm home, I can't be any place safer than the house of God, so the worry goes by. And that's kind of what it was with David. He's going through hardships. I don't know what point he was in his life, but I do know a lot of times he was running from Saul, he was running from his own son. They meant to kill him and get rid of him, and his whole nation seemed like the sins all around him. It was just a bad situation. He's confronted with that. But then God gives him a song, God gives him some scripture, and God inspires him to write this particular portion. Let's read it, then we'll see what the Lord has us to say about this portion of God's Word. Psalms, division number 11. "In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be in the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Speak to you for a while tonight concerning the thought, the Lord's love for righteousness. Righteousness. What's righteousness? It is just doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. God counts to you and I righteousness when we do what he told us to do. Now, we don't have any in our own, but he imputes to us, clothes us, and gives us of his righteousness. When we do that which he expects us to do, has commanded us to do. So David now is talking about the trying times, about the wicked, and then it seems as though he is kind of in the middle of this situation, and he realizes some thoughts go through your mind when you're in the middle of a bad fix. You know, what should I do? He has fought the evil all his life. And now, no doubt, the thought comes to his mind. It may come to yours. I don't think it's ever come to mind yet. I hope it never does. You might just well quit. I know people who have. They've been going through hardships, trials, seems like oppression, people against them, the devil against them, of course. And seems like they just say, what is the use? I'll just give up. David was some kind in the middle of that, it seems as though, because he talks about it's like fleeing as a bird to the mountain. But then he had some second thoughts about it. So let's look, first of all, in verses 1 through 3. He was confronted with conformities to the ways of the world. And I don't know if you've ever had that or not, but the thought does come to you sometimes. You know, you try, you pray, you seek God's face, and then the scripture tells us a lot of times that the people said, well, what's the use? God blesses seemingly the unrighteous they prosper. But then the end of that verse told us about, yes, but that's just temporary. The real thing we need to look at is not what's going on temporary, but what is eternal. So David now, he has realized that maybe he has been tempted a little bit, and the thought comes, just flee to the mountains. Just get away from all this trouble. Why? Because of the fear of the wicked. The wicked, if they could have caught up with him, would have killed him, and no doubt killed his family and those soldiers that were with him. And his thoughts were very troubling to his mind, but then he started thinking things over. And he said, hey, we have the foe. The enemy is our foe, and the enemy today is the enemy of the world against the righteous. It seems as though that's the biggest enemy in the world. It's the unrighteous versus the righteous. Look at all the wars that's ever been and all the trouble that is today and all the trouble and why the unrighteous, those that don't love God, God's enemy, because they have surrendered themselves to the pits of the world and the snares of the devil. And it seems as though the enemy out there is gaining grounds. And sometimes I thought, I hope it never occurs to you, and I don't know why I'm lingering on this. So far it's never occurred to me, but this scripture will help me that if it does occur to me, just quit, hang it up. The children of Israel, remember, they were in a foreign country, and they wanted to sing a new song, and they said, we've already hung our harps on the willow. We've already given up. So let's don't give up. I don't know how much harder it will be to live with all the problems and all the difficulties of life and all the things the devil's trying to do to God's people. But the scripture indicates to us the enemy will have a fury. They'll be angry. They'll be even more apt to try to hurt every one of us. They already are doing disorderly things. They're in a rage. But what are we going to do? Let's do what David did. And David said, now I'll put my trust in the Lord. He confirmed his trust in the Lord in verse 4. Let's read that verse again. Look at the world, but the world is discouraged. And look at the enemies against Christ, against you and I. It's really discouraging. But how to get out of this discouragement and how to confirm our faith in the Lord, he said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Have you ever heard people make it makes my skin crawl, the hair stand up on my arms, when I hear people say they went through a hardship, all of us do. Anybody here that's never went through a hardship? No, I'm sure we all have. But the difference is, if you go through a hardship, it will make you bitter or it will make you better. God arranges it that way. And I've heard people that have given up seemingly, and I've heard them make a statement, where was God when that happened to me? I have an answer. He's at home. Look what David said. He's never went anywhere. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. It doesn't matter what man does. He found safety and refuge in the Lord. Sometimes we get weary. And the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. You get tired, you get afflicted sometimes. Your body gets tired. When your body gets tired, it seems like the spirit starts getting a little weak. But then we take refuge in the Lord. Where's he at? He's in heaven. Start trying to imagine how things are in heaven. Cherubims and all the angels crying, holy, 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 on the continual. And Jesus there sitting beside the Father, ruling the universe, the whole world is in his hands. God has given to his son, Jesus Christ, all powers and principalities are subject to him. Start thinking about that. I'm so blessed in my life that many, many years ago, about 47 years ago, in these mountains, we were kindly sheltered over at Madison County Spring Creek. Not kindly, we were really sheltered. I mean, Dr. Sierra Smith, I took him over there one time. Of course, he went that way a lot going. He lived at Spring Creek for a period of time. And then he realized it, and he said, I know where I'd go if the FBI got after me. I think I know where I'd go if the Antichrist came and got after me. I'd go back to some of these hollers. They'd never find me. That's kind of where I was born and reared, in those hollers. But then God, through the precious Holy Spirit, introduced me to men like Dr. J. Harold Smith and Dr. Percy Ray. And, you know, you read the Bible and you know God's done it in the past in the Word of God. And somehow, seemingly in your mind, since you wasn't reared around God doing many, many mighty miracles like that, you kindly think, well, it's not happening anymore. And then God introduced me and I got acquainted with those two gentlemen. Let me just tell you a few things that some of the people's told me. I remember one time an evangelist told me that Dr. Percy Ray was in these mountains of North Carolina, and he was preaching, and revival started, and the church wouldn't hold him, so he called someone to go get by a tent in Mississippi. So they brought through a big truck and loaded them with that tent, and they were climbing this mountain, and the truck would not pull the mountain. Well, it's important to get the tent up there because service is going to be starting that night, and the truck wouldn't go. And Dr. Ray told this evangelist, just put your foot on the brake. He gets out. Dr. Ray goes, lays on the hood of the truck and starts praying. He says, now go. You know what happened. That old truck pulled that mountain like it wasn't even there. Could that happen? Oh, yes. And then so many other things that is around men of God like that. And Dr. J. Harold Smith, just being around him and listening to him tell me some of the things that happened to him and all the miracles, say, hey, God not only is in heaven, but he's still ruling in the life and the affairs of men. And God still does miracles for you, and God does miracles for me. And it doesn't take you long when you start seeing what God's done for others, what God's done in this precious word, to start getting out of the mully grub, so to speak, and stop looking at the world and the enemies of the soul and start looking to the things of God. You'll find encouragement when you do that. So he is confirming his trust in the Lord. He says, my foundation not going to be moved. Christ Jesus is their foundation. He's the cornerstone. And that which is built upon him will not be moved. So David starts looking to God, and pretty soon, did the troubles of the world go away? No, they didn't go away, but they sure didn't affect him anymore. And let them be out there. And you and I can't solve those troubles of the world. And we can't, within ourselves, stop them from being against us, trying to tear us down. But we can let it stop discouraging us, because we won't look at the enemy, don't watch too much world news and all that stuff, and start putting our trust in the Lord. And that confirms our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was confronted with the conformity to go along or get out of the picture. But then he started saying, no, I'll just confirm my faith in the Lord. But look at verse 5. He had some choices to make, every one of us do. He could be commended by God according to his choices, or he could be condemned by God. Now, it doesn't take too much deliberation or thought in your mind. Had I rather act in such a way as God will give me blessings or give me condemnation? And so David makes that decision. Verse 5, didn't take me long to do it either. The Lord trieth the righteous. Thank God he does. Because when he tries us, it gives us more trust and faith in him. You and I don't like to look at it that way, but remember what Peter says? Peter says, the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. And when God tries us, the righteous, it gives us faith. It confirms our faith in the Lord, because when he lets us go through a trial or a tribulation, I say he lets us go, he orchestrates it, he causes it, and he's right there with us, won't be a problem for him. And it makes us grow in him. It confirms our faith in him, because we've realized sometimes without him in the midst of this with me, I can't make it. But then we realize, hey, he is with me and I will make it, because he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So the scripture says the Lord trieth the righteous. So if he tries, he's going to commend us when we go through that trial. We're going to be closer to him than if we had not gone through that trial. So when we're going through trials, we ought to be able to praise his name, give him honor and glory for it. It's a trial of our faith, being much more precious of gold, which will perish. So we have that choice. As we're going through trials, rather than get stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and why is all this happening to me, we should say, thank you, Lord, just another time you're trying the righteous. And then we ought to be thanking God that I'm having this trial because you consider me righteous. That's a pretty good thought, isn't it? Well, look at the rest of that verse. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So if God's given us trials, we go through those. He's with us. He helps us conquer the fears. He helps us overcome all adversities. And then we're closer to him. We have more faith in him. And we have confirmed, he has helped us confirm that faith. And we have made the right choice. And now we're commended by God because of that choice. And otherwise, the wicked, they're going to do wickedly every day until they repent. And if they don't repent. So we realize that God is the controller of everything. We realize there is constant observation from the Lord over our lives. Look at the next verse. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that liveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Aren't you thankful God has his eye upon us, beholding the evil and the good? He allows us to walk through many, many circumstances that we do not know how we're going to come out the other side. We do know he'll be with us during that time. And as we're going through it, we'll pray more, we'll seek his faith more. And as he blesses us and gives us strength, then we will be able to trust him more. And every time we have a new trial, we will remember the last time that God, we looked at that situation and you tried to understand all that's going on, you can't. But when you go through it, you look at former things, you go back and you don't forget it. Remember how God brought you through another time. You look at other men that you know or other women that you know and let them testify how God has brought them through it. And God is no respecter of person. He just blesses those that have faith in him. And God wants every one of us to have faith in him. So David has learned now, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to confirm my trust in him. And I'll make the right choice. I had rather be commended by God as to be condemned by God. That's just an easy thing to do. But we know how to do it. Just follow his precepts. Now, it won't be your way. It won't be my way because my way is are not God's ways. His is right, mine's usually wrong. So the only thing we can do is start reading his word, trusting in him, praying, seeking his face, and ask him on a daily basis, Lord, let thy will be done in my life. Trusting him that his will in my life is far better than anything I could ever even think of. His ways. Can you imagine the God of heaven? Who, you can't even imagine how the creator of God had all the knowledge to create all the animal life and all the tree life and put the world in motion and control everything. A God that big will not have any problem whatsoever looking over you and I, knowing their thoughts, knowing everything about us, and patterning and planning their life for us. I trust him to do that a lot more than I would trust myself. And I trust myself more than I would anyone else as far as controlling my life because I know my likes and dislikes. I know my weaknesses. If I have any strengths, I'm aware of them too. But my strength is in the Lord. And if we think we have strength on our own, he'll bring us to the place where we'll quickly realize that we don't have any strength without him. My strength cometh from the Lord. Look at that last verse. We'll be closing. Not only choices he made, but now he has to realize that he has to be conformed to the image of God. That's what he tells us to do. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. Seemed like he's having a little bit of trouble, David, to start with about that. One way to get out of all my difficulty is just be a bird and flee to the mountains. What's changed? God hasn't changed. What if you could do that? You're still the same person. You still need God. Well, he got over that real quick. But listen to the verse, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You realize before we even got here, before Jeremiah said, before I was born in my mother's womb, you knew me, and God knew me and knew you, and God has a will for every one of our lives before we were ever born. And then what we need to do is learn how to be conformed into that image. And read this text again. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't have to worry that God's will for your life is perfect. You could go to the greatest university and be the brightest mind in the world. And know all about science as you possibly can. And know about everything else. And you could not figure out the perfect way for you to go and be where you need to be and have the blessings of God on your life. Impossibility. Why even try? Because God's got it all figured out. His way and his will for my life was figured out before I was ever born. That means all I have to do is find it. You say, that's hard to do. I'll assure you, he wants us to find his perfect will a lot more than we want to find out his perfect will. If we did want to know his perfect will, we would submit ourselves to him a lot more. We'd read and study. We'd show ourselves approved. And the verse cannot be, and I love this again, I love it so much, and be not conformed to the world. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's good, it's perfect, and it's God's plan for our life, every phase of our life. And if we would trust God in every decision we make, and then the next time he is allowing us to go through a trial, sometimes we think the trials we go through, the devil did that to me. Maybe not. Maybe God just permitted it, because he did say several places that he allows, he orchestrates us to go through these trials. He said he tried the righteous, did he not? Well, count us privileged and joyful that he counts us righteous. Doesn't count us unrighteous when we go through those trials. And God has a will for our lives during that trial. And we need to find it. You say it's hard to find it. It really isn't. Not at all. Not if you really want his will and your will dismissed. See, the problem most of us have is getting our little old will out of the way. Because our will for our lives is so formulated, and we've had a lot of time, a lot of practice doing it. We can lay in bed at night. We can see how others prosper. On, on, on. You go to school and do this, and all you do, you form in your mind, you form something that what you like to do, like to be. And I guess that's okay if, as long as you let God renew your mind. But see, the trouble is we got to transform ourselves into the heavenly, because if we don't, we'll be conformed to the world. That's what the verse said. Don't conform the will for your life on the world standards. Since we're in the world, that's hard to do. In fact, it's impossible to do within yourself. But there again, he told us we could do it in Christ Jesus. So the whole thing it is, God loves the righteous. He blesses the righteous. He tries the righteous. And he wants his way and his will to be in your life, to lead you and me and guide us in that perfect will, so he can bless us and give us blessings. And when those blessings come and the devil tries to irritate us like he did David, and all manner of things come against us, it won't bother us too much. It may or may not go away. That's not the problem. The problem is how we let it affect us. What the others say and do really doesn't affect us at all in the physical. It's what we allow it to do to us mentally. Some people spend a lifetime of worry. They hurt me. How am I going to get them back? or they hurt me and I have a hard time getting over it or forgiving them. David just give us a good way of getting over it and forgetting it. Put all your confidence in the Lord. And think, maybe God, perhaps, let me go through this because he counted me righteous. He wanted me to grow in grace and knowledge. And he helped me get through it. And he will help me get through it. Because God loves the righteous. God hates the wicked. And God wants to save the wicked. But if they won't repent, there will be punishment, eternal punishment. So our job is to get right with God so we can love our neighbor and we can love those that's wrong, so we can pray for those and get over the fact that somebody hurt you sometime, somewhere, and the world hates you. Get over all that stuff. It won't change. How you react to it can change. And it depends on whether or not you make that good choice to have God commend you or God condemn you. It makes all the difference in the world. Would you stand with your heads bowed? Thank you for telling us again and again and again that you love the righteous, those people that want to do right. When we don't do right, he forgives us and gives us a new desire if we'll ask him to desire to do right, the desire of our heart to do right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Brother Gunn said, we thank you for watching over us, for letting most of these hurricane, tornado warnings, whatever they were, pass. Realize some people, no doubt, maybe even around here, have been affected by them, and I pray for them. And we thank you for every protection you've given us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for looking down on us and blessing us, and for the trials you give to us, and for the fact that you're always will be with us to go through them because you count us righteous. Nothing that we could do just because of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the peace that passeth all understanding. We love you, Jesus. We sure do thank you for every good and perfect gift. There are many, Father, that we know, and even this church is going through those trials right now. And Lord, for them, it seems so helpless, no doubt, because they don't see the way clear. It just seems so foggy right now in their lives because of all the difficulties. And maybe it's just a trial of our faith and their faith. The Lord, I know you can bring us through, bring them through, and give them courage and give them faith and give them healing. In the name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.